My name's Mark Harville. On the 25th, I was in my home office talking to the Lord, praying. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I've got a testimony of you and for you. And let me stop here and tell you, I get emotional. I'm not ashamed of it. Because of his goodness and his love and his grace and his forgiveness that he offers each of us. So I'm sitting there and I said, I got a testimony of you and for you. And I said, I'll tell anybody who wants to listen, and I'll tell somebody who doesn't want to listen. If you give me the chance, I will say it. I will be a voice for you. The next day at lunch, I got a phone call from an assistant pastor, a friend of mine at Liberty Methodist, said, we're having testimony tonight, and we'd like for you to come tell your testimony. So I did so, and I'll tell you a little bit of something I told them at the end as I conclude today, too. So I did that. But I was a fiber optic contractor for 30 years, traveled all over the place. I was a hard charger, which wasn't good, for 18 years. Always had to be somewhere, had to see somebody, had to do a presentation, had to have a deadline. And back in 2008, the Lord made me a big piece of humble pie, big piece of pie, and told me to start eating off that pie and become humble and become submissive to him. And that's what I started doing. And it changed things completely. So about 3 years ago, I decided to retire. And I had a person in the company that I had groomed to take my place. And under a business agreement, he took the company on. And I have just been a consultant for the last 3 years in the company. And then that stops in December. So at that time, Lisa and I were kind of folding into retirement. It was a complete different change for me because I didn't have to be anywhere, didn't have to travel, didn't have to talk to anybody. I used to get 40 phone calls a day. When this occurred, I was down to maybe one or two a day. Big change. So we were kind of rocking along, and something told me to go see my doctor. And see, some of you have heard this before, so just bear with me, but it's worth repeating, and then I'll tell you some new news later on as I end. But I went to my doctor, and I said, hey, look, I said, I don't have any discomfort, I don't have any symptoms of anything, but I just want a sonogram. My stomach was a little upset. And he said, you've got acid reflux, so I'm going to prescribe you something for acid reflux. And he did. And he had two exam rooms, and I was in one of them. And I said, well, look, I said, I want a sonogram. And he said, well, you don't need a sonogram. And I said, well, I'm not leaving until I get a sonogram. I got one of your rooms tied up, so I'm not going anywhere. He said, okay, we'll do a sonogram. So he took me back, and he did a sonogram, and they found a tumor on my right kidney. And I'll skip over some appointments, but I saw three total doctors, and all of them said, yes, it looks cancerous, it's a tumor, it appears to be encapsulated, which means it's contained, and we can do a partial and just cut that piece of it off, and they're going to do it robotically at Emory up at St. Joseph. So we did that, and as part of my follow-up, I had an MRI done, and on the MRI, they found nodules in my lungs and my lymph nodes. And when they had taken the kidney out, they did lymph nodes down here, and they were negative. But anyway, when the MRI showed up, I had lymph nodes, I had nodules in my lymph nodes and in my lungs. So at that point, we did a biopsy, and the biopsy came back, and I got a call from an oncologist doctor that I was assigned to. And she gave me her grim news, and that was that I had a stage 4 renal cancer, and it was not good. It was a rare kind, and it was an aggressive kind. And the name of it was about that long, and I never, till this day, I still don't know what it is, because I don't want to know what it is, because it's not going to be with me that long to be friends. So I'd never bother to even look and see what it was, but I knew it was, I knew they said it was bad. And she told me at the time, she said, you've got probably 36 months, possibly 60 months, depending on how you react to the treatment. So I started immunotherapy, which is a new type of treatment that they've come out with. It's about 7 or 8 years old. They don't even know the results of it at this point. And so we started that, and at that time, around that time, probably right before that, I had started coming to healing school. My first visit here was Minton was speaking, and his message was, I can receive from my Father. And I had a hard time receiving from people in the past. I never wanted anybody to do anything for me. I was always doing for somebody else, but I just couldn't receive from people. And that was an issue that I had to solve, because I can receive from my Father. So you can believe the word, which is how we're healed. We're healed by his word. It's his will to heal us. But you've got to believe by faith, but you've got to receive also. You've got to engage and do something for that to manifest itself in you. So we began to pray, and I really leaned in. And I mean, I leaned in so far, I fell in. And it was good. It was real good. And the doctors up there, and the nurses and technicians and treatments, you have to understand, and God bless our doctors, they're smart people. They follow science. They follow what they think they know is going to happen in our natural bodies. But we knew, Lisa and I, see this right here. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And this is the other one that I love. Oh, Lord God, there's nothing too hard for thee. So that's what we leaned into. They leaned into science. We leaned into his word. So I went through the process of immunotherapy, and I'm still doing those. And the first scan that we did a PET scan. The first scan we did, we went for the consultation, and she said, hey, these nodules are decreasing. It's a good sign. It's a significant decrease. And Pastor Robert spoke 2 weeks ago, and he made that comment. He said, you know, God can heal instantly. We've seen him do that in the Bible. There's many instances where he did that. But healing can also be a progressive format. And so we said, okay, that's good. So we continued on. We continue with our treatments. And again, these treatments are sort of unknown, particularly with what I have. Radiation and chemo doesn't do anything for what they said I had. And by the way, I acknowledge what I had, but I never spoke it. That never came out of my mouth. It's important what you say. Your spirit, it's important how you talk to your spirit about what you say to yourself, to your soul and to your body. So I continued through with immunotherapies. The second scan took place, and I was clear. Completely clear. Walked in. This doctor, she's about this high. She gets out of her chair, and she walks over to me, and she gives me a high five. And she said, you're a miracle. But we know the miracle maker. It wasn't anything I did. I did receive. But she said, you're a miracle. She said, it's gone. She said, we're going to continue immunotherapy. I said, fine. And as I've gone to Emory, This is Emory at St. Joseph. I've taken pamphlets. This is something I want to read and share in just a few minutes, but this is written by Charles Capps, God's Creative Power for Healing. And I've given some of these to some folks, and I brought some today if somebody wants some. But this was given to me by Linda on a Sunday morning here. And Linda gave me this book, and it really changed my trajectory of how I thought about things in conjunction with Mint's teachings and Pastor's teaching of healing. It just changed things. So to bring you sort of up to date, I went for my third scan on the 25th, and it's come back clear. So that's where I'm at, and a lot of you here have been part of this journey for me, and a lot of you have prayed for me and been supportive of me, and that means a lot to both Lisa and I and our family. I've got five grand boys and one grand girl. I got a basketball team of boys. And the grand girl owns the team. She's team owner. And I plan to be around for them. So everything's clear. I continue my progress. And what I said at Liberty Methodist is what I want to say now. If you're sick and you need healing, lean into God's word. Study that word. And press in. Don't hang around people that are sick-minded. Hang around people that are like-minded. Surround yourself with people who can pull alongside of you and be part of you and be part of that journey. That's very important. And that's what I told them. I had about 100 people had a good positive response to that question, to that comment. And that brings me to this, is that I want to thank the leadership of High Point, Pastors Robert, Pastor Trey, Minton, the leadership team, for providing this service that we have, that we can come and we get very, very good fundamental teaching of how to react to healing, not only to be healed, but how to heal other people. Now, I was not the type of person who sort of went out and shared just to share the good news of the gospel like I am now. But since this has occurred, I have been given several really good opportunities to share with people. It's opened up doors. It's opened up windows that would have never opened up before. I've had people seek me out to hear this. And that's something that hadn't happened before. But what I did want to say to you this morning with this book that I read this book every day. Sometimes I read it. I have read it three times a day, and all these are quotes by Charles Capps. He wrote this. These are his summations. These are actually scriptures that have been summarized with the things that we learn here. Pastor Trey has spoken of these same things, so has Pastor Robert Minton also. These are the same identical summations that they spoke of. But listen to how he says this. He says, chapter 4, God's medicine. To be spoken by mouth three times a day until faith comes. Then once a day to maintain faith. And if circumstances grow worse, double the dosage. There are no harmful side effects. And then I want to read to you just a couple of these. I read these every day. Thank Gibson. I think I gave you one of these also. You've had a kidney issue also. Jesus is Lord of my life. Sickness and disease have no power over me. I am forgiven and free from sin and guilt. I am dead to sin and alive unto righteousness. Galatians 1:21-22. Father, now this is Father, because of your word. Because of your word, I am an overcomer. I overcome the world, the flesh, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. John 4:4, Revelation 12:11. I just got a couple more. These are important to me. Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Therefore, I refuse to allow sickness to dominate my body. I speak to my body. I speak to it. I speak to every cell in my body as it flows. I refuse to allow sickness to dominate my body. The life of God flows within me, bringing healing to every fiber of my being. Matthew 8:17. Then I got two more or so. This is a good one. Growths and tumors have no right to my body. They are a thing of the past, for I am delivered from the authority of darkness. When I say these things, I've given a couple of these books up at Emory to some of them. Few of them have been receptive. Others are pretty distant about it, but I don't care. I noticed in the waiting room up there, they don't have magazines out anymore. But, you know, they don't want magazines. So I take these, and I just lay it right there where magazines used to be. And then I say to myself, Lord, somebody's going to pick this book up. And whoever picks this book up, they can either share it with somebody or they can throw it in the trash. It'll be their choice. But at least I put the book there for somebody to do something with if it helps people. And again, I got one nurse up there who I shared with, gave her one of these books. I've talked to her about my journey a little bit, and she's been doing treatments up there for people for 45 years, I believe it was. She knelt down and prayed with me. I mean, just prayed over the medicine. Charlotte had mentioned to me at one point, make sure you pray over the medicine that goes in your body, that it will do what it's intended to do, do what it's supposed to do. So we do that. We take authority over that. That's another thing, is taking authority over this. You have you're in the righteous place of authority when you stand on this word. I've had a PET scan technician. The three times I've been in the PET scan, I'm just telling you this, it was like I wasn't even in it. It was like I was floating. It was an armor, body of armor around me. Those things are uncomfortable anyway, and they're claustrophobia, and they're just not too pleasant to be in. And who tells you that they had a pleasant experience in a PET scan besides me? Because that's exactly what's happened. The second time I came out of one of them, the same technician girl walked over to me, and she said, I've been doing this for a long time. She said, did you feel the power of God in this place, in this room? And I said, I sure did. And that just is a testament of God's goodness and his protection. But anyway, I wanted to thank again the pastors for the good teaching. I'm a meat and potato guy. This is good meat and potato stuff right here. These are good words, and it takes a time to prepare this and to study for it and to be able to present it. You and Minton and Pastor Robert are just spot on. If I'm alive on any Thursday, this is where I'm going to be. Mary, thank you for what you do, all the visual content. And I want to say to Carmen and to Levi, the music has been super. Thank you for doing that, being prepared for that. That's been awesome. That's been very, very good. And anybody I'm leaving out, Betty Jean, thank you for what you do. I wanted to thank you for what you do here for the church. And then also, the person who puts the content online, this is what I want to close on. All of these sermons, they have content online. If you log on the High Point website, they have Sunday services and healing services and Sunday night services. You can log on to that and pick any sermon that you want to go back and look at. I cannot process everything y'all say on a Thursday here. If I take notes, I have to ask Lisa what you said. What I do is I go back and listen to it, and I have a speaker, external speaker, on my iPad, and I can stop it and listen to it, and then digest what was said, because it takes some time to understand. There's so much good stuff going on that you don't want to miss that. And so that's what I had told Liberty's folks out there, to say, hey, log on to the website, listen to it, come on Thursday mornings. And also, I have tried to bring people on Thursday mornings. I have brought several folks, and That's a testimony you should be giving to people out there, to say, hey, we got a good service that's here, and to participate in it. But anyway, I just wanted to say thank you, and that was all. I'm going to leave these books up here. And if anybody wants one, they could have one. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. You know, what's so awesome about Mark's testimony and what I'm so proud of about it is that it's not one of those things where a special anointed man of God comes into town, waves a magic wand over him, and supernaturally brings healing into his life. Those things happen. I'm thankful for gifts of healings and other manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But far too many Christians are trying to live on that. And I want to just tell you, if you're depending on God coming and doing it to you, that's few and far between. It happens, but it's not the best way. The best way to receive is to do exactly what Mark did, and you press into what God's Word says concerning your healing. In fact, let's go over to Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to throw an audible this morning. Proverbs chapter 4. We got a few minutes here. I want to share with you something. In fact, when I've taught, when we started this healing school, this was the first message we ever taught here. And it came along the lines of what I'm telling you about right now, that it has more to do with what you choose, with what you desire, and what you press into. Amen. It's the best way to receive healing. And Proverbs chapter 4 gives us a great example of how this works and how you can press into it just like Brother Mark did. Amen. So let's start in verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20. The scriptures start off by saying, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." Why? What is your reason for telling us this, Solomon? It's because they are life to those who find them. What is life? His words and his sayings. They are life to those that find them and health to some of their flesh. Part of their body. The parts God deems necessary. The only parts you really need. No, all their flesh means all their flesh. That means every organ, every fiber of your being. His words, his sayings are health to that particular part. That's why I love the booklet that Mark was talking about. It's talking about medicine. Because the Hebrew word that's used for health here is translated medicine in other places. Amen. So basically what these verses are telling us is how you and I can apprehend God's medicine, and it specifically tells you how to take it. Amen. You know, when you buy those little medicine bottles or they prescribe it to you and you go pick it up at the pharmacist, they have directions for use on there. They tell you exactly how much to take, when to take it, and how to take it. Right? God was good enough in these scriptures to tell you exactly how to take his medicine. And that's back in verses 20 and 21 where he starts off by saying, "My son." Now, Solomon, when he wrote this, I'm sure he thought he was intending to write this to his son. And he was. He was writing it to his physical son. But we know that all scripture is what? Given by inspiration of God. That means that when he wrote this, evidently Solomon was being moved by the Holy Spirit to write and pen the things that he did. So when Solomon was speaking to his son, we know that God the Father is speaking to his sons and his daughters. So God is declaring to you, his son and daughter, these very words: give attention to my words. Another way of saying this is pay attention. Amen? Now, I remember the way this always resonates with me is when I was a young child in elementary school. We used to have the PE teachers, you know, the physical ed teachers would always be the ones that would take recess. And we would go to this guy named Coach Netherly. He was a big guy. I'm talking, he coached the varsity football team, and he was a strong-voiced man, an intimidating-looking man. And us kids would be out there running around, acting like fools, like kids know how to do. And he would come in, and when class would start, he'd pull that whistle up and put it in his mouth and blow that whistle and say, "Stop, look, and listen." And we were all like, "Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir." And we would get in line real quick. He knew how to get us in line, and what he was doing was he was getting us to what? Pay attention. And the Lord is saying right here, he wants you and I to learn how to pay attention. And I'm telling you why this is so important, because we live in a society today that everything out there is trying to vie for our attention. And it's actually to our detriment. It's something that really hurts us. It's one of the reasons why it's harder to see miracles such as this in our particular society, because why? We have more opportunity for distractions. And because of those distractions, it's hard to pay attention to what the words of God are and give them our undivided attention. But when we do so, that's the first step to taking the medicine. Amen. And then he says, incline your ear to my sayings. What does that mean? Get yourself in position to hear. Amen. I always like to use the example of a dog. You know, all of us that have pets and stuff like that, we have a little dog named Bluesy. And this dog is absolutely phenomenal in the way she learns to incline her ear. It's kind of like this. If I say to her something to the effect of, "Do you want?" All those are the only words I got to get out. "Do you wanna?" If I say that, she's inclining those ears. She is cocking her head. If I'm walking her down the street, this dog has the uncanny ability that while her ears might be perched out like this, when I talk from behind her, her ears get inclined. She points them backwards to make sure she can hear the words of her master. And what that's teaching us is the importance of getting ourselves in position to hear. And the fact is, with a lot of people, they don't have themselves in the right position to be able to hear when the Lord speaks, like he did with Ananias, the guy that baptized Saul. He's just doing his normal daily activities, and the Lord speaks to him and says, "Ananias." And he says, "Here I am, Lord." I wonder how many times the Lord has spoken our name, spoken to us, and tried to get our attention, and we weren't there. We were busy doing our own thing. We're not focused on that. But I'm here to tell you today, if we will be ready and always in tune to be able to hear the voice of the Lord, we can take our medicine correctly. So incline your ear to my sayings. And then he goes on to say in verse 21, do not let them depart from your eyes, which is exactly what Mark did, right? You keep his word ever before you. You might do this by writing it on little sticky notes and putting on your bathroom mirror or even on the dash of your car, whatever you got to do to keep his word ever before you. So what are we seeing right here? It's your eyes, it's your ears, and it's the attention by which you give those things to the Lord. When you do that right there, you're opening up the gates for the glory of the Lord to come in. Because why? Your eyes and your ears, they are the gates by which you get into it. It's kind of like when it comes to medicine, what do you have to do generally with medicine? Most medicines are taken what? Orally. You have to take it through one of the gates to get down into your belly so that it can assimilate into the rest of your body and that medicine can take effect, right? It's the same way here. What you're doing is through having your ears inclined, through having your eyes wide open, you are in position to let God's word enter into you so you can do what? Keep it in the midst of your heart. Your heart is like your belly of your spiritual self. And your heart will take it, and out of your heart will flow the what? Issues of life. Like a wellspring, if you would. It flows into the rest of your body. This is why your heart and guarding it, as he goes on to say after this, is so vitally important. Because this is where life comes from. It's how you choose to tap into God's healing power, his ability to do the things that he wants to do. Amen. Go in your Bible to Romans chapter 10. Let me show you something here that's pretty good. Romans chapter 10. Now, most of us are familiar with this, particularly us good Baptist believers in here that have come through, you know, a church that has trained us well in how to lead somebody down the Romans road of salvation. Amen. And those are good things. But do you know what sometimes people miss is that when they talk about salvation, they miss everything else that salvation entails. Being saved is not just getting your get out of hell free card. It's not just going to heaven one day. Now, that's the big thing. And that's the most important thing, right, Tracy? But that ain't the only thing. When you study the word saved or salvation, you find out real quick the word sozo means to be healed, to be delivered. In fact, you read Jesus's teachings and his examples in the scriptures, and you'll see that when people would come to him, he says to them, your faith has made you whole. And the word that's used for whole is sozo, salvation. And obviously what he's talking about when he does that is he's talking about their physical health. Amen. So sozo includes and encompasses more than just spiritual well-being. It is physical well-being as well. And what we see in Romans chapter 10 is how sozo enters into one's life. Amen. Now let's start in verse 9 of Romans chapter 10. But we're going to read this from the standpoint of how this thing works. And you're going to hear a lot of Mark's testimony in these very examples. These are the things we teach here. He says that if you, say if you is contingent on you, right? See, it's kind of like when it comes to salvation. Does anybody in here believe that if somebody darkened the doors of our church today that didn't know Jesus from Adam, and they came in here and they had a desire to be saved, and they're willing to do what you got to do to get born again, does anybody in here believe that God will not provide that salvation for them, that he will not allow them to be born again? Does anybody in here believe that God would reject a person that comes to receive him? No. And what we should learn from that is God receives all that come to him in faith. And if it works this way for sozo salvation from the standpoint of what I'm talking about, it must work for some other things too. Amen. So if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. So it takes out all the speculation there whether this is something that'll happen sometimes and sometimes it doesn't. You will be saved if you do these two things right here, right? So if salvation, if being saved is more than just being born again and having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if salvation also includes healing, then it must work that way too, amen? So if you and I will do what? Confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God, through his resurrection of his son, has also provided healing through his stripes. If you and I will believe that in our heart and confess it with our mouth, we will be healed. Amen. Look at the next verse, verse 10. For, and he goes on to explain how this works, because with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Oh, that's powerful right there. So what this is describing to us is that the way one gets born again, let's talk about this aspect of salvation, is first you got to believe in your heart. You know, there's a lot of people out there that'll ape and imitate somebody and say a prayer, and they don't get born again, right? Just because somebody comes to the altar and says a prayer with somebody doesn't mean it took, right? Because why? You got to believe in your heart. You can't just be doing it for all kinds of reasons. And when it captures your heart, it changes some things on the inside of you. Paul says that when the heart believes, what does it produce in your life? The righteousness Minton's been teaching about for the past few weeks. It produces righteousness on the inside of you. But this is the powerful part. That's how righteousness comes, by believing in your heart. But that's not how salvation comes. That's not how sozo comes. That is not how this healing we're talking about comes. It doesn't just come because I believe something in my heart. It comes how? With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So what that means is, if we're speaking of being born again, it's not just good enough, well, I love the Lord in my heart, and I receive him today, and you're thinking all this. That's not really how salvation comes. How does salvation come? When you bring together what you believe in your heart and you confess him before people. This is why we do things like water baptism. This is why it's so important, because it's important for you to confess him before men. Amen? That's how you get saved in terms of having your name written in heaven. But it's also how you get healed. Amen. So the way you get healed is how? Yeah, you believe it in your heart. You need to get the heart part fixed. And once the heart part gets persuaded, then you must say what you believe in your heart. And when you say it, and it really works in correlation one time. I remember one time I was with Shannon. I can't remember what we were doing. We were speaking something in faith. Something came out of my mouth that was just like, and God will do this. And then the Lord spoke to me and said this. He said, you know you're making a true confession of faith when it doesn't feel like a confession. You know how it works sometimes? Well, I'm trying to do everything they tell me to do, and I'm saying all the right things, but you have to kind of make yourself do it. And sometimes that's important, yeah, and it's better than doing the opposite. But what I'm here to tell you today, the best way to do it is get your heart so persuaded that it just, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth leaketh. Amen? It's not hard to find out what people believe in their heart. Just take somebody out to lunch today and let them talk for a while. You'll find out real quick what they believe in their heart, because they will talk about it, right? What should be coming out of our heart is what just flowed out of Mark's this morning. God's able. God is, nothing is impossible to him. Nothing's too hard for him. It is the natural, automatic outflow. And you say it, because why? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So this mouth confession is made unto your salvation. Glory to God. Let's continue reading. He goes on to say, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Amen. That means if anybody in here chooses to get out on the limb and do the things that Mark did, not because Mark did it, but because it's truth, but because God told you, and you get out there and you speak those things, when you do that, you will never be red-faced or ashamed. Because why? God's faithful to do his part. Now, have we all in here perfectly received from the Lord every single time? No, nor have I. But I'm also humble enough to be able to accept before people that when it doesn't work, it wasn't God's fault. Nor can I blame the devil. It would have been me, right? And humility will say that. But the good news is, if I'm the variable, then I can change it. And I can receive better. And all I got to do is just get myself in line with what these things are saying, and I can start receiving from my Father exactly what he wants me to have. So you'll never be put to shame when you really believe on him. And notice the phrase, believe on him. There's a difference between believing on him and believing in him. What does this mean? It's throwing yourself fully on him. It's kind of like if you're floating in the middle of the water, drowning, and you have desperate need of some salvation. You need to be delivered from this body of water or you're going to drown. Right? And then you've got a piece of wood or something that's just floating, just coming along, and it floats next to you. What do? If you're drowning and you need salvation, you throw yourself on it. And that's describing exactly what we got to do. We got to throw ourselves on Jesus. It's got to be a complete, wholehearted thing. Not this, well, I'm going to try it. I tried that, then it didn't work. No, it tried you, and you didn't work. That's pretty much the truth. Amen. So we throw ourselves over on the Lord, and we receive. Verse 12. For there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. How many of you are thankful for that today? Now, I know when we read that, we have the tendency to read it through a natural lens of, well, I'm not Jewish. Well, praise the Lord. If you're not, you somehow fall in the line here. It doesn't make a difference where you come from, who your daddy is, who your mama is, what color your skin is, how much money you got. It doesn't matter any of those things. The only thing that matters is that the Lord, the same Lord, overall is what? Rich To who? All who call upon him. Now, what's so powerful here is that the Lord is saying, man, he has an abundance. How many of you know God's rich? And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about just having all sufficiency in all things of every other. He's rich in power. He's rich in healing. He's rich in finances, too. He's rich in everything. Glory to God. There is nothing he lacks in. And what this is saying, the same Lord overall is rich to all, but a specific kind of all. All who what? Call upon him. Oh, praise God. So the ones that learn to call upon him are the ones that get the salvation. He goes on to describe it in the next verse you're familiar with. For whoever, say this with me, say whoever means me. If he says whoever here, this means that this includes anybody. Doesn't matter how good you've been. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. Doesn't matter what you did yesterday or what you might do tomorrow. Whoever does this gets some salvation. How many of you can testify to the fact that you were the rankest sinner that was probably in town before you got saved? I'm telling you, I see some hands. And even if you think you were the squeakiest clean sinner out there, you were still having righteousness, which is just like filthy rags. And you should go look up one day what that means when it describes your righteousness, your own righteousness, is as filthy rags. You'll get an eye-opener of what the Lord meant when he said that. But basically what that describing is, even at your best, you're a rank sinner in and of yourself. Right? Amen. And so, when you were in that condition, how many of you cleaned your act up a little bit when you came to the Lord and got saved? Well, let me, I'm talking about to get saved. That you, oh man, well, I need to clean myself up. I need to lay the drugs down. I need to get rid of all these different things. And I do all that, and then I come before the Lord. No, what does the song say? Come just as I am without one plea. And that's the way it works. You come before the Lord. You call on the name of the Lord no matter what you've done, and you get saved. Doesn't matter how bad you've been. Is this the way it works with healing too? Oh yeah. How many of us think somehow, some way, well, yeah, I understand it works that way with getting saved, Pastor, but you need to clean your act up before you're going to get healed. If you're going to receive something else from the Lord, it don't work that way either. If you'll just do what this says, same way as you got born again, it'll work in your life. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be healed, shall be delivered, shall be saved. Oh, praise God. So let's talk real quickly before we close up today. What does this mean to call on the name of the Lord? Well, with a lot of us, the calling on the name of the Lord came out by us confessing the Lordship of Jesus. Amen? Saying Jesus is Lord. Amen? So the way this works with healing, I've come to find out exactly what this is, and this isn't speculation on my part, this is scriptural. I go and study in the Gospels all of the people that came to Jesus to get this sozo, and you know what I find out? All of them did this very thing. They would call on the name of the Lord. What did you hear constantly with these people where their name was given, what their infirmity was, and how they get healed? They'd come to Jesus and they'd cry out, sometimes from a great distance, and they'd say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, you got to understand what they were saying. By calling him Jesus by his name, you know what Jesus meant? It meant Savior, salvation. You were basically saying, sozo! He was Jehovah, salvation. That was what his name meant. And then when they would say Son of David, they're declaring that he's the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was a reference to his being born as the Savior and the King of the Jews. Amen. So they're declaring that too. And then they would plead for mercy and grace from the Lord. So you don't necessarily have to say those very things, but if you'll say what healing is, contained in salvation. Whatever you need from the Lord, whatever you need to be enriched in, if you will call on the Lord in that area, you can get it. You can get that element of His salvation in your life. So if we're talking about physical healing, if we're talking about, say I've got weakness in a part of my body, a part of my body is just not functioning properly or things like that. Say it's my knee. This is how I can call on the name of the Lord in order for me to be saved. You can take a book just like Mark was talking about that has all these scriptures, and you can just, every day, you can say, Jesus, my Savior, my sozo, my salvation, I thank you. You give strength to the weak. You give the feeble knees power and strength. You cause me to mount up on the wings like an eagle. And I thank you, Lord, today. My leg is strong in the name of Jesus. My knee is whole in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that my knee is healed. You're giving me a new knee. You're giving me new ligaments. You're giving me new everything. You're working in my knee and causing power and strength to come into it. I thank you, Lord, that you're my healer. You're my healer. And you call him your healer. You call him your healer. You call him your strength. You call him everything you need him to be in your life. And the Bible says, whoever, say whoever, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be healed. It works this way in any area of your life. And the awesome thing is, you ain't got to wait on God for it to happen. It's awesome. In many different cases, I was talking about good old blind Bart. Remember that? We talked about him a couple of weeks ago. That's Bartimaeus. But if your name was Bartimaeus, you wouldn't want to be called Bartimaeus either. You'd want to be called Bart. I can promise you that. And Bartimaeus, Jesus walked right on by him, walking down the road. And he kept crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he kept crying out. And the Bible says Jesus stood still. I love it. He stood still. Did you know your faith in calling on the name of the Lord can cause Jesus to stand still? To stop doing what he was doing? Stop going in the direction he was going? That you can actually arrest him? Now, religion don't like to hear that, but it's true. The story of the Syrophoenician woman, right? You remember this lady? A Gentile. Comes to the Lord with a demon-possessed daughter at home and says, cries out for mercy, cries out for mercy, cries out for mercy. And finally, Jesus stood still there too. And he started having a discussion with her and said, I'm only called to the lost sheep of Israel. I'm not called to the dogs. Now, most of you ladies, you'd have left right there, man. This guy just called me a dog. There ain't no way I'm going to let that preacher talk to me like that. But this woman's humility caused her to continue to press in. And Jesus gave her what she needed. And you know what's so awesome about that story? This is what's so great. Jesus wasn't called to the Gentiles. That time hadn't come yet. Paul was going to be called to the Gentiles. But her faith and her calling on the name of the Lord in faith caused Jesus to give her today what was meant and intended for tomorrow. Isn't that awesome? That means that you and I are not waiting on God. He's waiting on us to do the things that we've learned today, to press in, to give our attention fully to the things of God, and to let our mouth cooperate with what we say we believe in our heart. And when we do that, salvation comes, healing is provided, and we can be healed of anything and everything that would plague us. Whatever you want, whatever you desire, you can have it. And you've got scriptural precedence for that very thing. Can I get an amen? Let's stand on our feet then. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Mark. Hey, Mark, you teed me up really well today, brother. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Glory to Jesus. Let's lift our hands to him. He is salvation. He is healing. He is deliverance. He is everything we have need of. Whatever you need in your life today, you can have it. Nothing is too far gone. Nothing is too difficult. Nothing is too hard for God. And the Lord is inviting us today to get radical and call on the name of the Lord and receive from what the Lord says you have. Say it with me. Say, Jesus, Savior, my salvation, my sozo, I call upon you. I call on your name. And I thank you that you are my new birth and my healing, my wholeness, my salvation. So I call on my salvation. I call on my healing. And I receive from my Father all that you've provided. You are rich. You are rich. You are rich to all who call upon you. So I thank you today that that includes me. And I can have what you said I can have in Jesus' mighty name. Now I want to warn you of something, that when you begin to declare those things, and it's not good enough just to have done that then. You need to do this every day in your own time until your heart gets reformed and you get the new narrative written there. But what happened with Bart is that when he would cry out and he kept doing it, people started trying to get him to be quiet. You remember that? And they kept trying to shout him down and do all these different things. But I made this point, I believe, a couple of weeks ago, and I want to reemphasize it, feel led to this morning. What's important to know about that is, a lot of times, the primary voice that's going to try to get you to stop declaring his salvation in your life is not from without. It's not from other people. It's from the voices inside of you. The devil will try to get you off of that and say it's not working, that it's not going to happen this time. But I'm going to encourage you, when you hear that on the inside of you, this is how you respond. Devil, I hear you. You said it's not working. But I thank you that the Bible teaches me that you're the father of all lies. Therefore, if you're saying it's not working, then what's the truth? It's working. So I thank you, Lord, it's working in me. It's working in me. It is working in. It's happened in my life. Thank you, Lord. And you declare those things out and shout that voice down and do what Bartimaeus did. Cry out all the more when the devil's trying to discourage you and dissuade you from believing God. And when you do that, you can receive. Amen. So say it with me. Say, I can receive from my Father. And I thank you, Lord, today. I'm a receiver. In Jesus' name. Minton and I are going to be up front. If anybody needs hands laid on them today, this is a great opportunity for us to receive from the Lord. So Cameron, if you'll play a little bit in the background. Thank you, Jesus. If you need healing today, if you need life today, transmitted into your body, come up here and let us get these hands on you and let's receive from the Lord. Amen. Everybody else, God bless you. We love you and we'll see you next time.